Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. It's game day for IU basketball, which is big because this is a game tonight that Indiana, even though it's a Big Ten road game, Indiana's got to get. They're in the middle of a four-game losing streak. They are a one-and-a-half-point dog at Northwestern tonight. They beat Northwestern in a game that at home when Indiana was playing fairly well earlier in the season. It was one of those two early Big Ten games, probably closer than what we thought it would be at that point. Now they'll have to go on the road and take care of business. I can't imagine with being called out about effort and questioning some things that are going on, I can't imagine that any IU player needs motivation tonight in the middle of a four-game losing streak to come out and at least play hard and bring their best foot forward for this Big Ten road game tonight. But we'll see. Such an important game. I don't know that I ever thought we'd be sitting here in late January saying that, you know, this Northwestern road game tonight is pivotal almost for this team. But in a sense, it is, because Michigan's coming up on Friday. The Big Ten is relentless, as we know, and Indiana has, quite frankly, dug themselves into a hole, losing the game at home with Nebraska, losing the road game in the manner they did at Purdue on Saturday. So what's always a big game when IU plays and a big show in town, and of course Big Ten Conference game means a lot always, and we know how tough they are. Tonight, I think, takes a little extra step forward for this game tonight against Northwestern on the road. I mentioned Indiana opened yesterday as a 1.5-point underdog at Northwestern, and of course Northwestern, a team that IU familiar with from playing them already earlier this season. So a lot of talk about the Northwestern game today. Can Indiana get back on the right track tonight with a victory? And Michigan coming to Assembly Hall later this week. And, of course, a big week for IU. Again, pivotal is, I think, a good word to use to describe this week. And, again, don't misunderstand me. I do think tonight, I think they've got to win. Is the season over if they don't? You got to start worrying about the chances to get in the NCAA tournament. I've seen a couple bracketologies out there that Indiana's just barely hanging on, barely still in the tournament at this point. Maybe one or two where they're not in the tournament right now with their resume and their record in the Big Ten Conference. But I don't know that that's the case, but I can tell you one thing. If they can win tonight and just come out against Michigan on Friday and compete, they competed on the road after a bad start earlier this month when they went up to Ann Arbor. If they can compete with Michigan, or by God, somehow if they could find a way to beat Michigan at home and couple that with a win tonight at Northwestern, that's the type of stretch that can get you back zipping again in conference play. And that's obviously, you know, probably some well-wishing there and some hopeful thinking there, but that's the sort of thing it might take for this Indiana team to dig out of the hole it's in, to make up for a couple of the bad losses, to be frank, that they've had, and move forward out of this rut that IU basketball is in right now. So we'll talk a lot about all that today, as we always do, talking tons of IU basketball here on the program. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining me on this Tuesday show, we'll start off with our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Those will come up here in just a few minutes in segment one, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. And then later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. He's off this week, so you won't see any columns or stories from Greg, but he's kind enough to join us on his off week presented by Coffee Crossing. And I asked Greg earlier today, I said, hey, I know you're off. Where have you been at lately? What were some of the last things you covered? Just trying to get some questions and topics ready for him today. And he said, my mind is mush because I'm off, but all I can think about and all I want to talk about is IU and Romeo. So that's what we'll cover with Greg here in the next segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he will be with me. With Mike, we'll kind of dig into Northwestern a little bit more. We'll rewind and take a look at that first game between the Hoosiers and the Wildcats, and then we'll take a look at tonight's game and some of the potential matchups and some of the potential challenges for this Indiana team as well. We'll get Mike's general take on the Hoosiers. No one has covered that IU beat longer than Mike Pegram from a lot of different angles, and we'll catch up with him about IU hoops in general later today as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. You know, I mentioned these teams familiar. They'll play at 9 o'clock tonight on the road for Indiana. Northwestern is 11-7 overall, and they are just 2-5 in Big Ten Conference play. Indiana won the first meeting between the teams this season, 68-66, back on December 1st at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And if you'll remember, that win for Indiana was the first of seven straight victories for IU basketball. So even though I think Indiana was favored by more than the two-point margin the first time they played, Indiana did not beat Northwestern handily. And actually, Northwestern had an opportunity at the buzzer, believe it was like a half quarter beyond shot, that would have won the game as time expired in that contest. Even though Indiana didn't run away from them, it still was the start of some good play from this Indiana team. Of course, Robert Phinisee at that point was healthy and had been performing well throughout the season. And that stretch there is what led Indiana to go on shortly after that, I guess right after that game, to be ranked in the top 25 of the Associated Press poll, and then from that point forward, they remained into the poll until here this week when they dropped out following the loss to Purdue and the loss last week to Nebraska in the latest Associated Press Top 25. So that was a pivotal game back then to start a good stretch of that mix of two early conference games and non-conference play as well. And it's interesting now that Northwestern, when Indiana really needs a win, this could start another stretch of play and of successful play for this team if they can get a victory tonight on the road. But Northwestern is a team that has had plenty of struggles along the way this season, and of course still looking for its leadership as well. But Indiana tonight, they've got to go on the road. They've got to get off. This is just a simple thing. They've got to get off to a good start. And most importantly, Romeo Langford has to get back in his groove. It doesn't mean he has to explode for 25 points or set a new career high, although I'm sure no one would complain if that happened. But he's got to get in a rhythm of scoring some points, of moving with the basketball and without the basketball, of taking the ball to the basket. You know, he gets in a rhythm of scoring from a variety of different ways on the floor, and he's got to get into that tonight to get to that average of 18 points, which I guess has dropped a little bit or maybe considerably now after four points against Purdue. But there's just a lot of things tonight to watch that'll be very interesting beside the score for this IU team to see how they are going to bounce back and see what happens moving forward. Also, Indiana did not receive any votes at all in the most recent Associated Press poll. They dropped out of the top 25 for the first time since the middle of December, which came right after that Northwestern win when these teams played the first time. So IU no longer in the Big Ten, or in the Associated Press top 25. And here's a Big Ten score from last night. This one will make your head spin as you start to try to figure out the conference and figure out, you know, how bad this loss was, or who down the road could be good that you weren't expecting to be as good in the Big Ten Conference. Last night at Rutgers in New Jersey, Rutgers defeated Nebraska, who I know it was a bad loss for IU at home against Nebraska, but they are a really good team. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from them by saying it's a bad loss for Indiana at home. But Rutgers beat Nebraska on their own floor 76-69 last night. That's a score that now Rutgers has got two wins in the conference. One, obviously, against Nebraska last night. And then you go back about 2 weeks or a week and a half ago, their first win in the conference was against Ohio State. So Rutgers is supposed to be there at the bottom, not the middle, the bottom. And they've beaten Nebraska, who, again, has been in the top 25, who beat Indiana at Assembly Hall, and Ohio State. So I think that win last night, much like the Rutgers win over Ohio State, just kind of underlines how good this Big Ten Conference is this season and why, as you watch some Big Ten games, there's discussion about really how many teams from the conference here coming up in a month and a half or so could be in the NCAA tournament. Could it be a record-setting year where an amazing number of Big Ten teams make the conference? We'll have to see. But obviously games like that last night make you wonder about the parity in this conference. And some of the teams that you used to see as a easy win or a bottom feeder in the conference, it's really not that way this year. Everyone has some good players. Everyone on any certain night, I think, can beat each other, which makes for some great play the rest of the way down the stretch. Also, from a recruiting standpoint last night, Armon Franklin and his Indianapolis Cathedral team, they are playing in the Indianapolis City Tournament. Cathedral's had a real dominant run in that tournament now for a number of years, and Franklin led his team with 23 points and 11 rebounds as Cathedral won 76-61 over Indianapolis Ritter in the City Tournament semifinals, and that pushes the Cathedral team later this week, I think it might even be tomorrow night, to a city championship game. That's a big middle-of-the-year deal. The Marion County Tournament, the Indianapolis City Tournament for some of those Indianapolis area teams, and Armon Franklin is holding his own there in the Indianapolis area, putting up some big numbers in a lot of different categories for his Cathedral team. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. He wants to talk Romeo. He wants to talk IU. I'm sure we'll hit a couple other things, but we'll sure get Greg's thoughts on this IU team and what's happened as of late, and, of course, what he thinks could happen tonight at Northwestern when we come back from the commercial break. So make sure you stay with us. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday edition of the show. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us. This segment is always presented by our great friends at Coffee Crossing. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. That's 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe. Greg Doyle, I never thought that I'd be sitting here in late January saying that the game tonight for IU at Northwestern is really a pivotal must-win game in many ways. But based on IU's recent performances in the middle of a four-game losing streak, if this is going to be an NCAA tournament team, if this is going to be a team that wants to compete for a reasonable finish in the Big Ten Conference, after some of the slip-ups and just really the lack of effort in many ways lately, this is a big one tonight for IU.
Oh, yeah. They're up against the wall, and they're – manhood has been tested is a little bit of an overstatement, I guess, but they are in a spot now where the world is kind of mocking them. You lose at home to Nebraska. I realize Nebraska basketball is pretty good this year, but much like Nebraska football cannot let Purdue come in there and win on their field, well, Nebraska basketball can't go into the Assembly Hall and win. IU can't let that happen. So they do that, and then they lose to Purdue by 15, and the game wasn't close. They're being called out, and I'm sure their coach is calling them out. I'm sure Archie's going nuts on them, so we're going to see how they respond. Either you can or you cannot. And if they can't beat Northwestern tonight, then they cannot. And they're, as I wrote after the Purdue game, and this is a harsh thing to say, but the facts are what they are. They are a dumpster fire right now.
And I want to go back and talk about the Purdue game and really the four-game losing streak as a whole here in just a moment. But if Indiana, and I'm just thinking hypothetically for a minute, if Indiana were to lose tonight, not come out of Northwestern with a victory, you know, fans are on edge already. Social media is on fire. When you post a story, when the Star posts your stories, there's all kinds of comments, and they're not good toward Archie Miller and IU basketball. And I guess in a fan base as rabid as Indiana's, yesterday I kind of went on a little spill where I said, hey, wait a second, you know, this is a coach that's been here a year and a half, and these are student athletes that are students first, and I think we forget that sometime. But I do get that IU basketball means that much. You're always going to have fans that just live and die by the success of the team. With that said, how ugly could things get if Indiana loses a couple more this week, starting tonight at Northwestern?
Well, I haven't seen the pure ugliness, and I'm not saying it's not there. I haven't seen it, I'm glad I haven't. Sometimes when I write something like what I wrote, I don't really look too much at the responses, because I don't need to be told by IU fans that are mad, hey, good job. Wait, you know, I don't need to be told that. But I don't want to read the other side too. The you know, people going too far. And I think what happened was one of the first things I saw was people saying, you know, if this is a Tom Crean team, we'd be talking about firing him. And I at that point, okay, I can't look anymore.
Right.
I mean, Archie's been here for a year and a half, and
right.
That's stupid. That's stupid. And so I'm not gonna deal with stupid. But yeah, it's gonna, with every loss, it doesn't just get one loss worse. It kind of starts getting exponentially worse. It's every loss becomes, you relive the entire streak. So tonight's loss will be, they're going to lose five games tonight if they lose tonight. And if they don't win the next one, that'll be six. That night, you lost six times tonight. That's how it feels on social media. And fans, I don't know if fans have changed, but social media has allowed them to, I think social media has actually changed. I know it has. It's changed people. And I fight it myself, and I know for years back when I was at CBS, I lost this battle with my own self, but social media allows you to get angry and then to show people how angry you are. And now fans are, and I don't mean everybody, so if you're a fan and you've been mad at IU and this doesn't apply to you, then okay, it doesn't apply to you. But the trend that I see is that fans, much like with politics, they've turned their side, in this case IU, but whoever it is, into your personal, what's the word I'm looking for, how you feel about yourself. And so if IU loses, then I'm miserable at myself, and my self-worth is no good, and now I'm really mad at IU because how dare you make me feel like I'm subpar because I'm rooting for you. That's how it is politics. I saw a great column by George Will, who's, by the way, a conservative politician, great column by him a couple days ago, saying that the border is not even the point. Like, people, the border wall is not really the point. It's the people on each side want to win, and they really don't care what they're fighting over. It happens to be a border wall. It could be something else. And that's kind of how it is with sports too, is that you get so locked up in your self-worth and your side winning that you just go too damn far.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. And I guess the scary thing about, and it's not just IU's bad streak right now, but the scary thing for fans, and I'm sure for coaches and everyone involved, is the Big Ten Conference. We've talked now, you know, since early in the non-conference year that it started off, okay, you know, so-and-so got a big win over a ranked opponent last night. Maybe they're pretty good. Maybe they're better than what we thought. Then that happened multiple times, and then we start talking about, my goodness, this conference is going to be a lot better, I think, than everybody thought. And as it continues to go along, now we're seeing within the conference, Nebraska lose last night at Rutgers, and that Rutgers game is no longer a game you can look on IU's schedule and say, well, no matter what happens tonight or Friday, that's a win, and that's a good moment for Indiana to kind of pick things back up and get a win and move forward. I don't know that you can say that if you're any team in the conference this year, given how solid the conference is and given that each team seems to have at least one star or superstar that's capable of somewhat putting his own team on their back and carrying them to a single win at least. So that to me is scary in this conference. There's never that opportunity after you come out of a tough streak or some road games or whatever the situation is to say, okay, we got one tonight. That doesn't really exist this year in this conference.
No, it doesn't. And especially if you're IU, it does not. On the road, there's nobody that you just say, okay, well, that's a W. Nobody. I mean, if they go to IU for Wayne or Purdue for Wayne, wherever it's called now, who's says they're going to win that one?
Right.
They might, but who would go to bed the night before going, oh, thank goodness we have a win tomorrow night. We're on the road at, you fill in the blank, we're on the road anywhere, IU's in trouble. And frankly, Purdue's kind of the same boat. They're not very good away from home either. But IU's our discussion point now. So, yeah, IU's, they're in a spot now where there are no gimmies anymore, and they need a whole lot of wins to get to the tournament. It's weird that, and I've seen it happen before. I covered this a long time ago, but back when Pete Gillen was coaching Virginia, I might have been 99 or something. It was a long time ago, but they were number four in the country in January, and they didn't make the tournament. Did not make it because it really doesn't matter what you've done until January. That's when you start to need to stack some wins. And IU's, they're not number four, but they were in the top 15 or so not too long ago. They're number 25 this past weekend, and they're in mortal. Their tournament hopes are in mortal danger. They're mortal. I mean, they're not their hopes, but their tournament hopes are on life support right now. They got to start stacking wins, and frankly, tonight's one of the easier ones. And I'm not saying it's easy, but if you can't get this one tonight, then there's a whole lot of games you're not winning.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. He's with us Tuesdays on the program. Back to the Purdue game for a moment. Obviously, you know, it's a rivalry game. It's at Mackey, a tough place to play when that place gets loud. And it's really not terribly surprising Purdue won the game, but it just more so is how Purdue handled Indiana for the most part. IU just never could get any traction. Romeo Langford, that's probably the lowest point total that I've ever seen him produce in a game, and I'm talking high school, AAU, middle school, feeder ball, about any time I've ever watched the kid play. And again, everybody's entitled to a night off. It happens, but I think there's a reason specifically it happened at Purdue, and you wrote a lot about it after the game.
Yeah, there was, I mean, and the reason's name is Nojel Eastern. And Romeo is, this is not new. He always, I mean, since he was in AAU and in high school early, I mean, whoever the other team's nastiest perimeter defender is, I mean nasty in a very nice way, but whoever that big, strong, rugged, physical, explosive guy, if they have one, well, that's the guy in Romeo. So he's dealt with people built like Nojel Eastern before. I'm sure he has, although Nojel is kind of an outlier, certainly in college basketball, to be a 6'6", 225-pound defending point guard type guy, but that's what Nojel is. He didn't just shut down Romeo. He spooked him. Romeo took 10 shots, hit two of them, and I made sure I got this right. Romeo took 10 shots. He only took three against Nojel Eastern, three. And Nojel was on him most of the game. So what I saw in the second half, and foul trouble took Romeo out of some stuff, obviously, in the first half, although he came back in later in the half. But what I saw of Romeo was in the second half, he got the ball. If Nojel was on him, he didn't do much and didn't even try to do much. But as soon as there was a switch, okay, I'm going to attack you now because it's anybody but Nojel. And that was weird to see Romeo almost concede, like, okay, if Nojel's on me, I'm passing this ball. But if I get a screen, now I'm going. That's not who Romeo Langford is, but he's a freshman. That was his most brutal road experience yet. And I'm talking about before tip-off, brutal. So, you know, as you said, everybody's entitled to have a game like that.
We're talking about, obviously, IU struggles with Greg Doyle, and I'm curious, you know, we've all got the talking points, the writing points, the slow starts, not having a third consistent score, injuries still battle this team. I think Robert Fennessy, even though he's back, is not the Robert Fennessy before the concussion. There are a lot of things you can point to for Indiana's lack of success in this stretch, and even some of these concerns were happening before this four-game stretch of losses. I mean, Indiana has historically this season gotten off to bad starts. Now they were able to come back and win most of, I think, if not all of those games until here recently, but different in the Big Ten Conference. What is the Greg Doyle read on things? Is there one or two things, one or two problems, one or two issues that stand out the most to you that Indiana's got to fix or improve upon to have a chance to win some of these upcoming games and to make the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, well, specifically as it relates to the slow starts, there's three things I can point to. One of them is Devontae Green. Number two is Justin Smith, and number three is Archie Miller. I'll take those in order. Devontae Green is, I mean, he's so fabulously skilled, and Archie has said, and I saved this quote because I might use it someday, Archie has said Devontae is their best passer, and it's not close. So when it comes to setting up other people for assists, Devontae's the best they got. Well, how does that translate into assists? Not many, because he doesn't do it very often. Devontae's, it's just his game. You know, his game is to go get buckets. He's not good enough, but if he were an NBA player, he'd be a great second-unit point guard. because that guy's job is to come off the bench and just go score. Go, you know, do what Yogi Ferrell does. Go fill it up. That's what Devontae tries to do, only he's not quite good enough, and so it doesn't work. And watching Archie coach Devontae is really interesting, because every time Devontae screws up, and it's a whole lot in the game, Archie just, I mean, he looks hapless. I mean, looks just befuddled, miserable, because he's seen this movie for the year and a half. Justin Smith is a guy kind of like Devontae, only the ball's not in his hands nearly as much, but he's going to get his. That's all I'm going to say. He's going to get his. And early in the game, when you're trying to establish Juwan Morgan and Romeo, you don't need – and Justin Smith is a great athlete and a really good player, and I thought he'd be better this year than he's been. I mean, I thought he might be a 10-8 guy, 12-8 guy, because he's that good. But he's a get-mine guy, and you don't want to get-mine guy starting the game off if Juwan Morgan's getting left out, which keeps happening. But then the third thing is Archie, and I love Archie, and I get so tired of people tweeting me and emailing me, you're too hard, and how can you – listen, there ain't nobody in the state that's been higher on Archie Miller since the day he got higher than me, and I'm not sorry I've said any of it to you or written it or anything. But when facts happen, we got to talk about facts. And the facts are that Archie himself, after that Nebraska game, said, why these guys weren't ready for a game of this magnitude with this much at stake, I'm at a loss. When the head coach says, I don't know why they're not ready, and then spends the next 10 minutes blasting his team for not being ready and not trying hard enough and not defending and not doing this and not doing that, that's a problem with the coach. I mean, you've lost him somehow, and I don't know how, but he has. And then Juwan Morgan comes in and says the same thing. You know, you can't make – after the Nebraska game, he said, you can't make people be ready. They either are or they're not. And these guys are not. That's a major, major problem, and that goes with whatever's happening in the locker room for the game. These guys got to get ready. And I go back to this, and I am not pinning IU's slow starts entirely or their season struggles entirely at all on those two guys I mentioned earlier at all. They're just the two most prominent things I can think of off the top of my head. But those guys are – Archie might want to shake up the starting lineup, because as good as those two guys are, they're not helping to start games. And you know, there's a whole lot of track record that says I'm right.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Our guest, Greg, a couple other smaller topics I want to bring up I've said this many times, and I always try to bring it up when you do write about something like this, because you don't see columnists that are on a statewide level going to high school games, finding some of the high school storylines like you do. And you recently wrote about another just tremendous night at a high school, Triton Central. And I've never been there. I can't even name the city that it's located in. You might be able to tell us. But nonetheless, the story that you located there and covered there in your one of your recent columns is just spectacular. And I'll let you, as you always do, give us a little preview for someone down here that says, where in the hell is Triton Central at? And why are we talking about it on a show in Southern Indiana? I think when you hear the rest of the story, you'll want to go find Greg's full column and read about it.
Yeah, thank you. Triton Central is it's a little bit town called Fairland, which is a suburb of Shelbyville. And so if you're a suburb of Shelbyville, you're a small town. And it's a 2A school, and once a year they have a pink out game. They've done 11 years now. This is their 11th year. And the first time, I hadn't heard of it until now, which really ticks me off. I hadn't even heard of it. Somebody's parent emailed me, hey, have you thought about going to the Triton Central pink out game? And once I read what was happening there, like when I went to the game the other night, Triton Central, the AD and fans are thanking me. They put a poster up in the, in an arena when there's, this arena seats 3,000 people. At the very top of the arena, against the walls, there's always cheerleaders put signs up there like, go team and go Romeo and go Sean West or Sean East or all that stuff. There was a sign up that said, welcome Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Like, they were happy I was there, and everybody's thanking me. And I was telling a few people that, you don't thank me for doing a story like this, because I didn't choose to do this. The story, once I heard what was happening there, and I'm about to explain it real quick, once I heard what was happening here, the choice was made. Like, I don't have a choice. I'm going. There's no choice to be made. They once a year, they invite 40, 50, 60, as many breast cancer survivors as can come, and they parade around the court before the game, and they have a fundraiser and auction and a silent auction, and the Colts and the Pacers and local businesses and IU donate tickets, and they raise $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 every year. And that money, and I mean every single penny. Sorry. Every single penny goes to the IWIN, Indiana Women in Need, which is for breast cancer survivors. Every penny of it. Not overhead, minus overhead. Every penny. And that money is then given to breast cancer survivors who need help, whether they need a little bit of money. I mean, they make money for wigs. It's a beautiful thing that they do for breast cancer survivors, and it happens in a little bitty school. And there might not be a bigger fundraiser in the state for breast cancer than that. And there's a little bitty 400-student school. It's beautiful.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Another touching story, man. You've got a way of, and I guess you probably get no telling how many emails about suggestions on places you should go visit, stories you should do, and columns you should write. But you've got a way of putting a good touch on very heartfelt stories. And, again, thank you for that.
Well, thank you. All I do is describe what I see. Here's what I see, and it's pretty heartfelt and touching.
Absolutely. Greg, one other question, or want you to comment on this. And I don't touch on this much, but I've just heard so much discussion about it. A lot of concern about officiating with NFL over the weekend, and of course how that affected the outcome, at least of one of the games heading into the Super Bowl. Your thoughts on that, and also the Super Bowl matchup we have between the Patriots and the Rams?
Yeah, when the Patriots involved in a Super Bowl, I just really can't. I just can't. You know, I'm going to watch the whole game wanting the other team to win, whoever you are. I just can't. After, you know, I've lived my life here this last 4 years, and after what I saw at Deflategate and after what those fans did to me, after I correctly got mad that they cheated the team in my city, I got nothing for them. So I'm really disappointed that they're in it again. But they're really good. You got to tip your cap to them. The Julian Edelman thing, first of all, the fumble or not fumble on that punt, they called on the field a certain way, and I don't know how you overturn that. So, they had to watch it for 10 minutes. If you watch for 10 minutes, then clearly there's nothing conclusive. Then you can't say conclusively that you didn't. So they got a break. I don't understand that. That's bad replay. That's not the officials on the field. On the field, I think they got it right. The replay screwed that up. So that's one problem. But then what happened in the NFC game was just a blatant pass interference. And, yeah, it's a bang-bang play. I get it. But those are the best officials in the world, and their whole job is to watch bang-bang plays and get it right. And that wasn't even like instantaneously bang-bang. It wasn't like the ball is right around the receiver. The ball is probably 5, 8, 10 yards away. I don't know how that happens. And if it happened every time in every game, you'd say there's a major, major problem here. It doesn't. It happened then, and there have been a couple false starts missed this year. There have been some bad stuff this year. I don't know how big picture to go on this, because this is a horrible, horrible incident that clearly knocked the Saints out of the Super Bowl. But I don't know that it's endemic of a larger problem, which people want to say. It just is a damn shame it happened to anybody.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, tonight we'll find out, 9 o'clock tip-off, if this Indiana team can come out with some effort that you would expect, really, at every Big Ten game, every game that they play, and if they can maybe use this game as a spurt to get things going back in the right direction. We'll have to find out.
I know we'll all be watching. I appreciate you calling me this week. Let me talk about it.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, thank you. Enjoy your week off, I think, right? We'll talk with you next Tuesday.
Here I go.
Greg Doyle with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company, downtown New Albany. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well. They're now serving breakfast and lunch. Do yourself a favor. Check it out when you head down to downtown New Albany next time. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. We'll take an in-depth look at IU Northwestern, some of the matchups. We'll revisit the game the first time when the two teams played, which was probably a little too close for comfort. Northwestern an opportunity to win that game at the buzzer. The shot clanked off the rim. And so we'll see what happens tonight when Indiana and Northwestern hook up, and Mike Pegram will help us get ready for that game coming up here after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Late night start tonight. It's a 9 o'clock tip-off for Indiana. They're at Northwestern. Of course, we'll have the game on the Big X Sports Radio. Don Fisher on the call. Pre-game coverage will begin at 8 p.m. tonight. The game will be broadcast on television on the Big Ten Network. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. All types of preview content today at the Pegs.com website if you're looking for more. And, Mike, I want to start with when these teams met back in early December. IU was able to win. The game was maybe a little closer than I think people expected it to be at that time and at home for Indiana, but it was the start of a nice run for the Hoosiers where they would go on to put seven victories together in a row and, of course, shortly after that win become ranked for the first time this season in the top 25 AP poll where they would remain until just this last couple days when they came out.
Yeah, and I do think it was a little bit of a warning, though, that they won a lot of those games by just small margins, like that 2-point win over at Northwestern. You know, it was a game that Indiana was heavily favored in. They pulled it out. They showed they can win close games, but they didn't look dominating at all through that, and they did struggle quite a bit with the Northwestern big man, Derek Pardon. You know, he had maybe his best game of the season, 11 for 15 from the floor. So that's definitely concerning, and I think, at least this morning, Vegas has the Wildcats as a slight favorite tonight.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. I want to talk more about Northwestern and some of the matchups. And, of course, everybody will remember Derek Pardon and the big game he had in Bloomington when the teams played earlier this season. But before we do that, Mike, I have known you forever, it seems, ever since I've been around really the game of basketball. And I'm talking when I'm, you know, going back to like, sixth, seventh yeah. grade. I mean, people don't really understand the length of our friendship and how you've helped me over the years. But no one, and when I say this, and I know it's people probably don't get it, but no one has been around IU basketball consistently over the years like you. You're one of the pioneers of the internet coverage and so many different things. And so to have you on with us Tuesdays and others on your team is a real opportunity, not just for insight on what's going on right now, but insight with this basketball program over a number of seasons and a number of years. So you've seen, you know, IU teams surprise people. You've seen IU teams have bad streaks. You've seen IU teams overachieve. You've seen IU teams underachieve. I'm really curious, of all the people that come on every day to talk about IU basketball and give their opinion and their viewpoint, I'm really curious what you make of IU's current struggles and what you, to you, the best you can pinpoint to the major problems right now for this team and what they need to do to come out tonight and maybe start a new streak, a positive streak, instead of what's been going on the last number of games. Even in some of the wins, I'm talking, you know, the negative things that have been going on.
Well, I think they've lost their identity. And to me, their identity was they were a very good defensive team that had two go-to guys to win close games. And I remember saying to somebody in the first half of the Maryland team, wow, this really is a good defensive team. And then ever since the second half of that game, they stopped guarding as well. Look at all those slip screens that Purdue had, the Harms and Eastern, just leading to easy layups. They've lost that ability to really stop people. They have to get back to that, or this it might not be a tournament team. I mean, they're playing that poorly right now. They were never going to be a good shooting team. I think that's caught up with them a little bit as teams have sagged back on them and asked the other guys to see if they can shoot the ball. And they, sometimes with you have two really good players, the rest of the guys defer a little bit too much, and then those two guys get a little bit tired. And I think Romeo looks very tired right now. Juwan seems to wear down a little bit now. And they look like a tired team, and they need one positive thing maybe that'll turn it around. And tonight is the first chance to do that. A positive thing then could lead to an upset of Michigan on Friday. You know how games can be in Assembly Hall when a ranked team comes. So, but they have to turn around quickly because that Nebraska home loss was devastating.
Yes, absolutely. And, Mike, you know, I know that you know this. A lot of people know this. The average fan, I don't know, grasp it if you're not been around some of this stuff. But, you know, team scout, obviously, you know, high school team scout. It's just something that happens, professional team scout. But the technology nowadays with every game available to college coaches, and it's even becoming more and more available to high school coaches where you can trade films online, and it's not like it used to be. College is definitely way beyond that. They're all accessible. Every coach can watch any game that they want, and that allows coaches to break down and their staffs to break, and they have video people that do this full time. It's not like it's a coach spending a couple hours a day in the film room getting things ready for the team clipped up to watch. But, I mean, they can take a look at every possession and study these things and the metrics and figure out what sets were run when and who to sag off of and who to play this way or who to force that way. There are so many things now, and as college basketball teams have staffs that are committed to just the scouting part of things, the video part of things, something that you were able to get away with a couple weeks ago or even a week ago or maybe even a game ago, someone's going to pick up on, and it's going to be something that the other coach sniffs out or scouts out, and they're going to try to take that away from you. And if their players listen or are capable of doing what they're asking to do to take that away from a specific team like Indiana, you're going to find, people picking up on what you're running and what you're doing. And I think that what you just described with some of the things that other teams have found out about Indiana, that's why Indiana was able to get away with some of these things earlier in the season that they may not be able to now.
Yeah, and the sacking back is not just the poor shooting. It's because Indiana is terrific inside the arc. I think they were sixth or seventh in the country at least a couple games ago in their two-point field goal percentage. And that's Juwan Morgan, but it's also Romeo's a terrific driver of the basket, to the basket, but has been really poor from the three-point line. And so they're just teams are deciding, hey, Indiana converts everything down low. We got to stop that and let them try to beat us from the outside. So you just see a lot of loading up the box now. And Archie Miller talked about that after Purdue. He said, you saw that with the Maryland, beginning in the Maryland game, and it's kind of continued.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Let's get back to the Northwestern game tonight. I mentioned Derek Pardon by name. He had a big game when the teams met earlier this season in Bloomington. Talk a little bit about the challenge for him, who potentially could guard him, and then some of the other matchups as well for this IU-Northwestern game tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, recently Northwestern's gone with a really big lineup with Pardon and Barrett Benson starting, and he's 6'10", 240. Benson and Pardon's close to that same size, so that kind of presents a little bit of a dilemma. But I would imagine you'll see a lot of Justin Smith on Pardon. He's given up a couple inches, but you don't want Juwan Morgan in foul trouble. I think Juwan will guard him at times. And then Juwan will probably at least start on Barrett Benson, who's not a terrific offensive player, but, can get on the glass and cause problems there. So that's kind of where they are. But Northwestern is kind of a team without a true point guard. But it is a team that has, I think, guarded the three-point line really well, which is not that big a deal when you play Indiana. They don't have a lot of three-point shooters. So, those two teams have played. Northwestern, took IU down to the wire. So Vic Law is a tough matchup for Indiana. Bigger size, small forward is always tough, and that will fall maybe onto Al Durham.
I think we can assume that this happens tonight, but it's not like Romeo has ever posted a four-point game, that I can ever remember before. But do you think Romeo gets going somewhat again tonight, gets at least closer to his average? I mean, obviously the rule of the averages would say yes, but that was just a performance from him that I don't think anyone is used to seeing, and I know there were probably multiple reasons for how that played out Saturday at Purdue for Romeo specifically. But do you see him getting things back under his feet tonight?
Yeah, he had 20 in that game in December against Northwestern. And, obviously I think that'll focus him even more. The Purdue game was a little bit of the foul trouble taking you out of your rhythm and, putting yourself on the bench for a long period of time. And, again, that sagging back defense. But, I think he'll bounce back. And Archie says he's a bounce-back kind of guy, so I would expect a big game for him, but he has to start to hit the deeper shot because teams are going to give it to him with that 22% average or whatever he has right now.
Mike, let me ask you a question. This is, obviously your opinion. When do you think that alarm will sound for you that this Indiana team is really in trouble of making the NCAA tournament this year? Is it a loss tonight? Has it already happened? Is it going winless this week? Do you need more time to come up with that answer? Maybe could it be beyond this week? What are your thoughts on that?
I guess a loss either tonight or at Rutgers next week. You gotta the road wins are hard, and you have to beat the bottom half teams when you do go on the road. Because Indiana's road schedule in the last half of the year is still pretty tough. So you know, Iowa's playing well, Michigan State still. You have to go there. There's a lot of tough games, and they have an opportunity here with Northwestern and Rutgers to win win one of those. And if they don't, they're in big trouble because some of their, you know, Butler hasn't done as well, so that win isn't looking as good. The Louisville win, I guess, does look a little bit better, but they don't. They're going to be right now. They're back to the 8-9 seed in a lot of bracketology, which is usually a sign that you're very much on the bubble, close to the bubble at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Couple of recruiting things before we get out of here today. Keon Brooks was on ESPN, one of the ESPN stations yesterday, playing with his La Lemire team out of La Porte in a big showcase game. And I know Armon Franklin has been posting some big numbers for Indianapolis Cathedral. They'll play later this week for the Indianapolis City Championship, a great mid-year opportunity for him and his team, and he's definitely answered the challenge. Maybe updates on either of those guys? I know Armon obviously is already in the fold, but he sure has had some nice games and nice numbers with his high school team.
Yeah, the feeling around Armon is that it's the kind of thing we thought with Robert Finnessy a year ago, that he had really improved offensively. And that, you know, that's why Robert, I think, has come on to start as a freshman. Armon has shot the ball better, and he's just scoring in different ways. And he's playing more as a two-guard this year. He just looks more comfortable when he does play. And Keon Brooks is probably going to decide here soon, but seems to be torn. We think that Indiana and Michigan State are his top two, and the Spartans have come on really of late and, of course, aren't hurting themselves with this huge winning streak that they have on the court.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. He's with us Tuesdays on the show. We talk IU basketball. And, Mike, as always, thanks for being with us, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then, Matt.
And,
take
of course, Wednesday we've got Jeff Rabjohns coming on. Perfect timing to recap whatever happens tonight in the IU game at Northwestern as well. We've got some other guests lined up for Wednesday, too, so stay with us for that. We're here each weekday at 11 o'clock. Don't forget, if you missed the live show at 11, the replay, it begins at 3 o'clock. And, of course, we are also on podcasting as well. If that's a easier way for you, if you're out of the area, you can listen on SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts. For SoundCloud, download the free SoundCloud app, or you can point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Apple Podcasts is easy as well. Just open it up on your computer, on your phone, and type in the Hoosier Report, and it's a free listen. You can leave us a rating and a review if you would. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast about IU basketball and sports here in Southern Indiana. That's just about going to wrap it up for today. A couple programming notes to remind you of. IU tonight, big, big, big game, as we've discussed all hour long at Northwestern. That game will tip off at 9 o'clock on Big Ten Network, but we'll have the broadcast right here on the Big X with Don Fisher from the IU Network. And that pregame coverage, which is, I think, more people, I've had some people say this to me recently, and I always, even if I don't end up listening to the game with Fish, and I always try to make sure I can somehow catch Fisher with the broadcast, but I always listen to that pregame show, especially because you get to hear from Archie Miller, and it's recorded, but it's not terribly long before it actually airs, so you're getting up-to-date stuff that will happen later this evening, especially with the injuries and some of the changing things in the lineup with this team. Potentially, you never know when it may change. Don Fisher has all of that in an interview with Archie Miller. So always listen to that hour before the game, the pregame show tonight. That's 8 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio, streaming at BigXSportsRadio.com. Then we've got the game at 9 o'clock, obviously. And after that, the short post-game show on the IU Network. We'll get right over to the Assembly Call IU post-game show. It's always a great way if you're really into it, if you're an in-depth IU fan and you want to hear lots of thoughts, good, bad, ugly, what goes well, what doesn't on this IU team. That Assembly Call IU postgame show is a great way to recap an IU win or an IU loss. And boy, tonight, it's a big one for this team. I tell you, if we come on tomorrow and Indiana suffers a defeat tonight, it's going to get tough for this team. Michigan coming to Assembly Hall, the only thing positive you could say about that game, at least as we sit here at this moment, is the game's at home. It's not on the road. It's not at Ann Arbor. And then, of course, IU has a game with Rutgers later next week, which is another must-win game, even though Rutgers defeated Nebraska, who defeated IU on their own home floor last night. That's how crazy the Big Ten Conference is, and that's why when you've got an opportunity to play at home against a team that's not one of those tip-top teams in the conference, you got to win it in this year's Big Ten Conference. You just have to win those games to help you when you do go on the road or when you do play a Michigan at home, a game that's going to be tough. That's going to wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Jeff Rabjohn's with me. We'll have full recap of the IU Northwestern game. We'll cover some other topics, obviously, as well, but lots of focus on IU basketball as IU tries to figure some things out. We'll see if Romeo can get it going again tonight at Northwestern. Stay with us. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. It's the Hoosier Report on the Big X Sports Radio.